You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, the sun did rise this morning. In certain areas, you wouldn't see it because it was cloudy and overcast. But depending on where you live, trust me, the sun did rise this morning after the Kings were thoroughly beaten last night. Ryan, Jerry, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the final stretch of this season. So good that you are here on If You Don't Like That. Jerry, I'm going to start with you. I did a rant today, and my message was to Kings fans, relax. It's only one game. I said before the game, Ryan knows this. I've been talking about this for weeks. I don't like to talk about the schedule. Jerry, you know me. I do not complain about the schedule normally because, as you boys pointed out, you play 41 at home and 41 on the road. But when I saw that schedule and saw that the Kings had to play in Orlando, travel cross country, then the very next night play, and then play again the next night. I had last night's game circled for a long time as one that was going to be very difficult to win. Now, did I expect them to lose by 36? No, I did not. But did I expect them to lose? Yeah, I really did. So to me, Jerry, if the Kings win on Friday, nobody's going to give a damn about what happened last night.
No, that's exactly right. And I think that'll be the key for me for the rest of the year almost, is how they come out Friday night.
Yep.
I mean, you know, considering everything, they'll be rested. They'll be at their best physically, certainly. So will the Mavericks, because, I mean, Luka, you know, obviously had some Achilles problems or something because he was limping around. It didn't keep him being great. But he'll be right. So, yeah, it'll tell you a lot about the possibilities going forward. And, you know, and like you say, if they get the win, it doesn't mean anything. They got the tiebreaker and they can get back on track.
Yep.
Yeah, there's way too much today going around. Oh, the defense is broke now. This can't happen. It was one game, and we're not giving Dallas enough credit for how well they shot. That being said, I love that Mike Brown echoed your comments, Grant. Don't come in today. It's a rest day. And also, just his comments after the game, focused on the right things. The Kings can do better. And I think their minds are right going into Friday.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Jerry, I made a comment after the game last night that the Mavs are a different team than the team that the Kings saw earlier in the year. I think they really helped themselves at the trade deadline. And I also think it's taken a while, but Kyrie and Luka have figured it out. And I personally think they may, and I underline, they may be better than their record even indicates.
Well, certainly since the trade deadline, they are. I mean, really, and you pointed out, and I've said this too, I mean, they didn't just add guys. They added two starters. They added two starting players. I mean, certainly Phoenix got a player that helped them and some other, you know, that sort of thing. But they got two starters. And this is a different team, and I've watched them a lot, especially since the All-Star break, and you're right. And Jason Kidd deserves a lot of credit, but Kyrie and Luka are really playing well together, and it's like last night. Hey, ain't nobody going to guard Luka Doncic the way he was shooting the ball in the first half or Kyrie Irving. Right. I mean, there ain't nobody the Lord above created that could guard some of those guys.
Right.
So, So, you know, these are guys that are kind of like all you say about Oscar Robertson, you know, in his day when Bill Russell said, you didn't guard Oscar, you just hoped he missed when he got the good shot that he wanted. That was that was really all there was about it.
I mean, the bottom line is the best players in the NBA can't be guarded, all right? They're in a class by themselves. You can't guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You can't guard Steph Curry. There are a lot of players, well, I shouldn't say a lot. There are some players in the NBA, I don't give a damn how good you are defensively or how good you have it. You know, they're not guardable. That's just the reality of the situation.
No, they basically will guard themselves. I mean, just they'll have nights and they don't make shots. But right. You don't guard stop themselves. You don't stop the great ones. And then, of course, the other side of it is the very below average player will have a game or two a year where you know they get it going and exceed whatever really talents they have.
Yeah. Hey, I want to get to this real quick, and then this is the last time I'm going to say this. Victor, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get the Kings schedule, and I want you to put it on your phone, whatever. Put it in front of you, and I want you to look at where the Kings were right before, okay, they came home to play Philadelphia. I don't give a damn where Dallas was the night before, okay? Dallas had 3 days off before that game. Go look at where Sacramento was, okay? All right. So what is the biggest adjustment, Jerry, that the Kings are going to have to make on Friday? Or will it not matter if Luka and Kyrie are playing their A games?
Well, I think if they're playing their A games, I think Kings would have to play probably a better game they played all year. Now, the odds of both of those guys being as good as they were the other night are pretty slim, really. They're human. They don't always just be that dominant making that many difficult shots, which they did. They made a lot of difficult shots. So, I think it's for the Kings to win. I mean, they have to do what they do best, and their best players, i.e. Fox, Monk, and Sabonis, all have to play at least to their averages. You know, and none of the three did. They were all below what you expect. In other words, offensively, this team, those three guys, you would expect the number of shots they took, they would have scored about 12 more points, 14 more points at least. And that would have made a big difference as far as staying in the game.
Rhino, Malik Monk has really been off the last several games. You worried about him?
No, I'm not. I think he'll be fine. I think he's just going through a little thing. They've had a lot of basketball lately, as we've laid out. And last night, for him, the shots just weren't going. They were good looks, and they were open. Jerry, the one thing I would add that the Kings need to adjust is the pressure. If Luka and Kyrie can beat you, then they're going to beat you anyways. You got to get them off of their spots, which then leads to deflection, steals, and transition, because transition is huge for the Kings right now.
Yeah, you know, the difficult thing with this team or that team, and by we've said it before, is that they're so difficult to double, you know.
Yeah.
And because there's two of them. very few teams have two guys that are almost impossible to double, and you have to double. And so I think it's, you almost need to use – different individuals, trying to throw them off their rhythm that way. You know, maybe it's Keon Ellis for a while on Kyrie, maybe it's a Davion, maybe it's even Keegan, and the same thing with Doncic. Just show them different guys, because they're still going to figure it out, but maybe the time they figured out one guy, you got another guy on them. And I just like the different looks that way. And maybe even some zone. And I know they'd eventually pick a zone apart, but it still might throw them off a little bit till they figured it out. So, it's a little bit of a smoke and mirrors thing, but that's, at some point you got to say, look, these guys are better than – we don't have two guys like this. The Kings don't. I mean, Fox.
Not many teams do, really.
No, not many teams do. I don't know that anybody has two guys that talented.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head, Jerry. You said they're better than you. The Dallas Mavericks, to me, are better than the Kings.
Yeah, I think statistically they are. Talent-wise, they are. And, I don't know if you guys have got a minute here to listen to this, but I was going through some stats. Not you know, Grant knows certain things I think are important, but all the main statistical categories: offense, Kings ninth; assists, seventh. That's good. Turnover, 16th. Not so good, but their overall rate is third in the league. That's excellent. Rebounding, 15th, middle of pack. Field goal percentage, 12th. Free throw percentage, 15th, middle of the pack. Three-point percentage, 15th, middle of the pack. Block shots, 28th to bottom. Steals, 14th. Now, those 10 categories, you put them all together, and it'll average out about 13.5. So your team would be 13.5. Well, that tells you something. That's close to average, okay? Then you get into the win margin. The team has a win margin of 1. That's 10th in the West. Now, it'd be 17th overall in the league. Again, what does that tell you? That's close, very close to average. And, you know, and I think that's, I mean, and honestly, I, as much as I love this team, and because they're unselfish, but I think talent-wise, that's about where they are. If you really get down to their record, I think this team is overachieved, not underachieved. With the talent base that they have when you look at comparatively in the West.
And I'm going to add one more thing to that. We're going through a stretch right now of games. When you look at the Kings, we don't talk about Trey Lyles enough. I think losing him has been significant. And now you lose Kevin Huerter. And yeah, there were games where Kevin Huerter was not playing well. But you know, the Kings are not better without Kevin Huerter. They may have a different they may have a different look, but they're not a better team without Kevin Huerter. You take Huerter and Lyles, and I'm not even going to put Sasha in there right now because he really has not been in the mix for so long. But those two, and I think particularly Lyles, Ryan, I don't think we talk about that enough. I mean, the Kings are really shorthanded right now, and they're trying to stay afloat without some key guys.
Well, Trey Lyles is that ingredient that can go pretty much in any dish. He can shoot the three. He's got some toughness to him, and he plays small ball five, and he can run a little bit. So, yeah, the Kings do miss him a lot, and I think he was probably the key signing in the offseason that was not talked about enough.
Well, yeah, he, you know, as Grant pointed out here, and I think it, just on a simple basis, this is if those guys were healthy, you know, Huerter and Lyles, you've still got a weak bench, but it's not a terribly weak bench. In other words, you've got enough guys who can compete with other teams' benches. And I think that the current situation with the Kings bench, without those guys, it may be the worst in the league, because, and that may present some of the problems that Malik has. He feels like he has to go out there and get 25 off the bench, and that's tough to do.
Boy, that is very tough to do. I want to tell you quickly about New Works Plumbing. They've got a fix for you for your plumbing needs and repairs. Just go to sacserviceplumbing.com or call the number on your screen. New Works Plumbing, they've got a fix for you. Well, you know, we're not waving a white flag here. I mean, the reality is, Richard Jerry's just pointing out, Ryan's pointed out a lot of these numbers. And I've been saying without numbers, I instead of me using numbers, which I don't like using that much, I used the eyeball test, and this Kings team this year has been very inconsistent the entire year, ever since the season began. I think I think they're a good team. I don't think they're anything more than a good team, and I've said that week after week after week. You know, people keep on talking about the playoffs. The playoffs are not assured. You know, if you're not in the top six, folks, that doesn't mean you're a playoff team. You are then going to have a lot of pressure on you in the play-in tournament. But right now, if you could win on Friday, oh boy. I mean, what a game, momentum-wise, confidence-wise, guys. If you are going to lose another game Friday, lose crucial back-to-back home games with the schedule that remains and that road trip in April that starts off with the Knicks, Celtics, Nets, and Thunder, I don't like the Kings' chances for being in the top six if they lose on Friday. I think Friday they absolutely have to win if they're going to be a top six team.
You know, the term, big game, you know, is overused a lot. But in this case, it really isn't. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, if you lose two at home, it would take, I mean, you could make up for it, but that the only way you make up for it is beating New York or Boston or somebody on the road. And, you know, that's a lot to ask for. Maybe
sure
too
is
much, too much. But so, yeah, that's clearly, you know, you need to not just win to beat the Mavs, because that would certainly make you feel better about yourself and to wipe away the bad one. You've got the, you know, you've got the break in the match up there with that team. So huge game. And like you say, the schedule, everybody's got tough games, and every all these good teams are pretty inconsistent. Maybe not quite as much as the Kings, but you know, with the Suns get beat by the San Antonio Spurs.
Yep.
And you know, we saw the Lakers beat the Bucks last night on the road. Yep. You know, that sort of thing. That's you know, it's that kind of year to where, boy, oh boy, you just must win your damn home games.
Yeah, and Jer, and to your point too, Grant, if the Kings were to lose to Dallas, the games that we think need to be wins, they become must wins after that. Like the Clippers, to me, must win. Brooklyn, must win. Phoenix, to me, must win. So I don't know that the Kings want to go into that position with that East Coast trip coming up.
No, because you come home from that East Coast trip and you play New Orleans and Phoenix. Those are your first two games after that road trip, and then you close the season with Portland. So that, again, that those games could be huge, or by the time the Kings get off the road trip, it may not even matter. So you this game Friday, everyone, circle this game, because this is the biggest game of the year. This is the game on Friday. And the Mavs know that too, by the way. You know, the Mavs are saying the same thing the Kings are saying.
Yeah,
they know the same thing. They want to be six for the very same reasons.
Yep.
Because, I think the worst thing in the world is getting that play in. And if Houston Rockets get in there they're playing, I mean, who wants a piece of them right now?
In all likelihood, if you're in the play-in, and again, could change, yes, you're probably going to end up playing Phoenix in the first game. And I don't know about you guys, but boy, oh boy, you got to go. If you have to go against a healthy Phoenix team with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker on the floor, can the Kings beat them? Yeah, we've already seen them beat the Phoenix Suns with those guys on the floor. But that's a tall order. That's a tall order.
See, to me, that's where in a game like that, you have to have home court. So if you're going to be in that situation, you got to shoot for the seven. Because I think with a team like Phoenix that's been inconsistent, I think the crowd and the atmosphere could shake them a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that totally.
I don't agree with that. I don't think the crowd means anything to Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Okay, and those are the guys that are either going to win the game primarily or lose the game. Now, Jerry, you've always pointed out about some of the role players for Phoenix that have really played well that aren't getting enough credit. But to me, like, I don't think the crowd's going to bother those guys. And I also disagree for this reason. I actually think the Kings' best games this year have been on the road and not at home. And I don't know what it is, but if you look at all the games the Kings have played this year, and you take the five best games they played, probably three of them have been on the road.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think I was kind of saying what I said, because I think in the normal circumstances where, you know, normally it's a home team has an advantage, but this team clearly hasn't. You're right. You made a good point. I mean, their best wins have been on the road.
Yeah.
And then the second point, which is always true. I mean, great players, like, they like to win on the road. You know, they'll tell you. I mean, that's what they thrive for, is a quiet the crowd, the Durant's of the world.
Yep. Hey, Bennett's, if you are looking for a tremendous place to go this weekend for brunch, they've got you covered at all three locations, whether it's Sacramento, Roseville, or in Rockland. Prime seafood and steak at Bennett's. Just go to bennettsrestaurants.com. Make a reservation, check out the menu and more. That's bennettsrestaurants.com. I know when the Kings were really good, the guys, and let's face it, Arco was the best home court advantage in the league. Everyone knew it. But, boy, they loved going on the road for what Jerry just said. They absolutely loved, because they knew they were good and they knew they could beat any team anywhere. And they loved silence in a crowd. They used to talk about it all the time. So that there's a lot of truth to that.
The problem is when you or when they silenced the crowd, you got loud. I remember your radio call in Dallas, Names.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed announcing big games more on the road than at home, because when you're at home at Arco, it's near impossible, even on radio, to talk over the crowd. When you're on the road and your team is playing well, the crowd is, it's like a library, and it's you can be heard and you can announce the game. And there's a huge difference, and Jerry knows this for all the games we did together. There's a huge difference in big moments on the road for your team than at home. And I'm not saying I don't like the big moments at home, but as Jerry knows, we don't talk. We just shut up because, you know, you wouldn't be able to hear us anyway.
Hey, I'll tell you, Ryan, on the road in some of those games when the crowd was so quiet, people could listen to the game with Grant from the upper decks.
That's great.
I'm telling you, they could be in the upper decks. They know everything's happening from the Sacramento Kings.
And I I wanted everybody to be able to hear me, and I wanted the other team's players to hear me, and I wanted I wanted to get under people's skin.
So, Jerry, when we saw the people with the Walkmans that went over their ears, those were actually ear protectors from there.
Yes. Oh, well, absolutely.
Got it.
You know, especially if they're within three or four rows of where we were doing the game, you know, they had to have their – I think they called them Grant protectors.
You know, Jerry, you might have a workers' compensation claim, my friend.
You know, I need one right now.
A little too late. A little too late for that, Jerry. You know, you lost your opportunity.
It's too late for damn near everything.
I think I think we can summarize this game on Friday. The Kings are not winning on Friday without playing their A game. Even A plus. So they're going to have to play, I believe, with how well the Mavericks have been playing the last several weeks, with the rest. Both teams are going to have the rest, but I believe the Kings are going to have to play an A to A plus game. If not, they will not win a game on Friday. Because I think Dallas will bring I don't see Dallas having an off night. Dallas will probably play well, but the Kings are going to have to play better. They're going to have to bring an A to an A plus game.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think any other way. They're going to have to play their probably best game of the year. You know, certainly Kyrie and Luka are going to get theirs, but what you hope, it's going to take more shots for them to get the same points. And, you know, where they just don't hit everything like they did, but Kings can beat them. But totally agree, they've got to put it all together.
So I'm going to kick it back to both of you guys then. What is the Kings' A game? And if your answer is their A game is their style lately, do you believe this is what Mike Brown wanted, or have the Kings been forced into it?
Well, I think, you know, what their style is they got to make threes. You know, they're a three-point shooting team. And when they win, they hit a high percentage. And if they don't, they lose. Now, and it's too late to change that. I mean, I wish they were better in the half court. And I wish they were, had more call plays in certain situations. I've said that all year long. And I think down the crunch time of games, I think you need that. But, you know, that's one of the things I think Dallas, for instance, has if it gets close. You know, they've got certain need plays. But the Kings, we've seen them go on three-point tears. They got good, terrific shooters. But they have to do that.
Their shooters are not as good as they were, because you don't have two of your best three-point shooters on the floor in Herder and Lyles, guys that can extend the defense. And so, to me, when you have a game – like last night, maybe a bad example because it was a 36-point loss. But right now with the Kings roster the way it is, and based on what Jerry said, and he's absolutely correct about the three ball, when Malik Monk does not play well, i.e. shoot the ball well, it is very hard for this team to win, because you're getting Harrison Barnes, you just don't know. Keegan Murray's offense has been up and down. Okay, so if you get a game where his three is not on, you don't really have anybody else on the team that can make threes. So you don't, your biggest identity of a three-point shooting team is not there without Herder and Lyles if Malik Monk is not being Malik Monk.
Well, and two, I mean, we can simplify it. I mean, I think with Monk and Fox, they're shot creators, and they can create shots off the dribble. And so when they're not creating good shots or not making shots, then this team really comes to a stagnant close. I mean,
bingo.
In other words, Sabonis, his key is finding open shooters. But if open shooters aren't making shots or can't get opened, the offense really, really stagnates, and which we saw a great example of that last night.
Hey, Baki, good to have you from Belgrade. We appreciate your support and everybody else here on the stream. And for Baki, he likes these 4 o'clock Pacific shows because he's not watching at 3 or 4 in the morning. Although I know he'll be up at 3 or 4 in the morning watching basketball, but
yes.
It won't be the Kings tonight. Ryan, you've talked a lot about this. You've been giving us numbers, and you've been talking about, you know, particularly the last 10 games, because the Kings have played somewhat differently, right? I mean, because
we
with Keon Ellis, I mean, let's face it, Keon's not an offensive player. Yeah, he can. The Orlando game was a good example, but for all intents and purposes, if he scores, that's a bonus. You don't expect it. That would be a bonus.
Yeah, absolutely, Grant. And I think that's part of the reason the Kings, their net rating's 4.3 in March, because Keon has shown the propensity to knock down the open three coming into last night, right around 40%. But I think the thing for the Kings, and Mike Brown touched on it, Grant and Jerry, and maybe you can touch on it as well, is they have to now realize it. So to supplement it, it's the fundamentals they have to do right, which is why they're getting to the free throw line more.
Well, yeah, they need to do that. You know, I will say that one thing we have seen on the positive, not just Keon is really making more shots than maybe we expected, but Davion Mitchell has become a pretty consistent shooter here, shooting 40%, I think, in the last 10 games from three.
That's good.
And so that's, you know, because you weren't counting on that. So you do have that. It still doesn't change the fact you need Lyles and Herter. I mean, having more talent is never a downside.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very good point. I want to also talk to you about Gold Country Veterinarian Hospital. They are a full-service veterinary medicine, dentistry, surgery, and wellness care facility. They're located in Auburn, serving the foothills, Roseville, and the greater Sacramento area. They are dedicated to urgent care. They have advanced internal medicine, full surgical care. They have the most modern technology, and they are very proud of their pain management protocols. They are there for you when you need them. They are top shelf. That's Gold Country Veterinarian Hospital in Auburn. Talking about the Kings, Ryan, and the big matchup Friday and some other tidbits. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I want to just add something to the Davion Keon three-point conversation. And it's an eyeball thing, but it's true. When you look at the end of the first quarter and you see four Kings with an assist, or even sometimes by the six-minute mark, usually that's when they're playing their best basketball, as opposed to Sabonis 3-4 assists, because I think Jerry and Grant, it makes a huge difference when guys like Keon, Davion, and even I would say Harrison Barnes are just touching the ball in the flow of the offense.
Well, that's a key for this team. I mean, is the ball moving? Now, I think, you know, one of the things I think hurts this team, they get into a habit of moving around, just playing on the perimeter. It's one thing, you know, it's one thing to get the ball in the basket via Sabonis or off the dribble and then kick it out and let defense react to you. But when you're just moving the ball around the perimeter, you're easy to match up with. And we're seeing that probably way too much.
Well, I know one thing. Friday is going to be a fun game to be at if you have a ticket. That is going to be a legitimate playoff atmosphere. The vibe in that arena should be incredible. And I'd be really surprised if the Kings don't start this game on Friday very well. After getting humiliated last night and having, you know, the days off, if they're not ready to play on Friday, they won't be ready to play the rest of the year. I mean, and I know they're playing against a good team, but I still expect the vibe and the energy at the start of that game to be at a fever pitch.
Well, the energy will be there from the crowd, and I think it will be from the players. You get the job done. There'll be a lot of energy at the Reynolds house in the man cave. With me, I can tell you that. So some things are a given.
Love it. Yeah, I think the energy is a key in starting strong. They started strong last game, and I think the energy at the start of the game was like a playoff game last night. But the one thing I would add is I don't think it'll be a Brooklyn kind of game from last season, but I think it's got to be one of those games where the Kings just take off and don't look back. They just can't take their foot off the gas.
Well, no, if they do, they won't win. I mean, it's no. Simple as that. But, yeah, I expect to, you know, I mean, this team, that's one thing about them. Like I said, all year, I think they probably are playing above their talent. When you look at their record, and part of it is because they play together so well and play so hard for the most part. And so I would expect nothing else. And so we'll see.
Jerry, how often do you see teams that play above their talent win championships?
It happens. I mean, I'd say, you know, there's a couple come to mind. Long ago, the Seattle Supersonics won a championship, probably the Detroit Pistons in 2004 when they didn't have any really great players. They had a lot of really good players. But in general, those teams played above themselves, and there were several teams in the league better than they were. But they caught it right, you know, where they were healthy when maybe better teams weren't, things like that.
We almost saw it last year with Miami. I think that was a good example.
Yeah,
great. They made it all the way to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, a team that you know was in the play-in. So I think that's what you're talking about is it can happen and it has happened, and I'm sure I could come up with two or three more. I know the old Warriors with the Rick Barry in '75. Yep. Know they really weren't that good, but they were that good when it counted. And so it does happen, but to your point, they, you know, talent wise, they shouldn't have been a champion.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Great point.
Well, you know, we can, the reality is, I think it's pretty simple. For me, it's pretty simple. The Kings are going to have to make their threes on Friday. And Jerry, I don't care what lineup they put out on the floor. That's been their bread and butter. That is their bread and butter, and they're not beating Dallas any other way. So to me, you better hope that the threes fall on Friday, and that means Monk. That means Keegan Murray, okay? Harrison Barnes has got to chip in. I think you'll get the big games from Sabonis and Fox, but if you don't have Monk and you don't have Murray making shots, you're not beating the Dallas Mavericks. It's just it. You're not beating it. Not with the way the roster looks right now. And as Jerry pointed out, your bench is very thin right now. You're not getting the punch. I know Davion's been shooting the ball well, but Malik Monk has got to have one of those 25-point games on Friday. He just does.
He just does. I mean, he has got to become the Monkster again.
Yep.
Yeah. We've got to have the Monkster in order to win this game. And like I say, I think Davion and Keon will do what they do. You know, I think they're going to just – they were okay last night. They'll do what they do. But that – you've got to have, you know, basically your key guys getting them more. I think, you know, Harrison Barnes, I think, is also a key, just like Malik. I mean, he knows this league and this talent level of Dallas. And I think we'll see him kind of have a bounce back game, which he certainly needs.
Yeah.
I worry less about Fox and Sabonis than anybody else.
You know, Jerry, we talk about the other team in the Mavs. A guy that doesn't get talked a lot about because they have Luka and they have Kyrie is Tim Hardaway. That guy's good for Mavs. He does a lot of things for that team.
Yeah, he knows how to play off those guys. You know, in other words, he is one of those guys that is a terrific shooter, knows how to get to the open spots when his defensive man is looking at those guys, which is all the time. And both of those guys are very comfortable finding him. So, they're a scary team. And I think Jason Kidd's done a great job. You know, I mean, key guys of earlier in the season, like Maxi Kleber and Powell and some of those guys, they don't really see any time. Which shows you know, they're just significantly more talented than they were.
Hardaway is the king of the 50-50 ball. He's always there.
Oh boy. It's very true. Very true. Hey, I want to tell you about Fosters and Paws. They have puppies available for adoption. They are a group of animal advocates, very passionate of what they do. And if you go to fostersandpaws.org/adopt, you can get a puppy. There are going to be many puppies available in the very near future from what I'm told, but there are puppies available. Just go to fostersandpaws.org/adopt. Fosters and Paws, they are very passionate of what they do, and we're happy to talk about them right here on If You Don't Like That. All right, Jerry, some final thoughts as we wrap this up?
Yeah, here's what I'm going to do to get ready. So I'm going to be on my treadmill during your pre and post or pregame show, most of it, and in the entire first quarter, because I will getting my Who's Your Game face on, baby.
Oh,
I'm going to be ready to bring it. So that's all I can tell you. I'll do my part.
Okay. Ryan?
I love it. I you know what? That just means I got to get extra ready because we have to meet your level of energy, Jerry. Love it. Let's go.
Well, I hope you can. I don't know if you can, but I hope you can.
I just hope the Kings don't have a first half like their second half that we saw last night, or Jerry will definitely be falling off his treadmill, and that would not be a good thing.
That would not be good.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Don't forget, on Friday, Rhino will have the pregame show at 6:30. And just know when you're watching Ryan, Jerry will be on the treadmill, and you can visualize that. Yes, and at halftime, Jerry is going to be, you know, re-energized, invigorated, everything else. He'll be with us at halftime. And then hopefully the beam will be lit, and we'll be talking about it on the post-game show. Right, Jerry?
That's exactly the plan. That is exactly the plan. Let's just do it.
Boom. Yeah, let's just do it. Let's just do it. Hey, I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much for your support. Make it a good rest of your day, and don't forget about the big game Friday and everything right here on If You Don't Like That. So long, everybody.